If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And as you're turning there, I'll give you a little background on this Bible lesson. So back in November, December, before the first of the year, Brother Gabe had asked me to bring a Bible study, and my heart and my thoughts was on John chapter 3, verse 14, where the Lord there had told Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And anyway, so that's where I'd started then. And of course, when I tried to bring that Bible study, I had to go and begin at John chapter 3, the first of the chapter, and go down. Well, I didn't get to verse 14. So Gabe asked me here a week or so ago to bring the Bible study again this morning. And I thought, well, I'll go back to John chapter 3 and go to verse 14. And so I go back to the first of the chapter and start. And guess what? We're not going to make it to verse 14 again this morning. But it's a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture. So let's begin this morning, and I will read down to verse 15, but we won't get that far. But I do want to read the passage first. So beginning in John chapter 2, verse 23, is where the context of this occasion begins. So John chapter 2, beginning in verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, and this is speaking of our Lord, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. There was a beginning now in chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know, and testify that we have seen, and yet ye receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, in our first Bible study, we looked at this, and we began back in verse 23 and probably went down to a verse around verse 3. And the thing that we noted, and I'm just doing a brief review so we can kind of set for the rest of the Bible study. But we kind of done a brief review. I would like to do a brief review right now and note in verse 23 of chapter 2 what it says, that many believed on his name when they saw the miracles. Verse 23. But note verse 24 again, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them. And we looked at that word commit and defined it, and we found that the word means to believe, that Jesus, our Lord, did not believe. He had no confidence in their faith. And their faith was not a saving faith. And if you'll notice verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know. We meaning he is representing, or he is a part of those who believed on his name when they saw the miracles. So Nicodemus and these who believe, our Lord has no confidence in their faith. Nicodemus says, thou art a master come from God. He says, and we know this because of the miracles. That's Nicodemus's argument. That's why he tells the Lord that we believe. And I want you to look at John 3, verse 3, and look at the Lord's reply. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And again, as we said before, our Lord is refuting Nicodemus here in this response. He's responding to what Nicodemus has said. Nicodemus said, we believe that you are from God because of the miracles. And our Lord says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, what he's saying is, you cannot know what you say you know based on seeing miracles. Our Lord is not revealed to men's hearts because they see things with their eyes. And when we looked at this first even a little closer, and we looked at these words, our Lord said he cannot see. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He's saying you cannot perceive. You can't perceive God. You can't perceive spiritual things. And speaking of the kingdom of God is speaking of the reign of God, his kingdom, his reign. And then that of God is not our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we look at this verse, we see, or we can see, that it's saying, except a man be born again, he cannot perceive the kingdom, the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what our Lord is telling Nicodemus is, Nicodemus, you can't perceive me. You don't know who I am based on what you're telling me. And Nicodemus did not see Christ. A man cannot believe unless, as our Lord said, he has been born again. He must be spiritually regenerated. He has to be given life. Spiritual life does not come because we have seen miracles. There's many who would profess that, is there not? In religion, there's those who have seen things and now they believe because they have seen some miracle. Or for some, they would profess to believe because of circumstances. And I have heard wondrous circumstances of people to where wondrous things have happened that a need was met, or maybe a life was healed, or something. And then now, because of what they have seen, now they would say that they believed. But circumstances does not cause a man to believe. And then I've heard those also maybe speak of death experiences. I've certainly seen these on, you know, TV. Larry King or somebody would interviewing somebody, and they would, tell a story. They've come out of the body, and they look down. There's the doctor, and whatever. And then, you know, they're absolutely certain of life after death, or certain of God and His character, or whatever. But those things are not. According to the scriptures, they have no bearing on life. They have no bearing on spiritual life. Remember the rich man in hell? Remember when he cried unto the Lord and he said, "Raise Lazarus and send him to my brothers." And Lazarus, his argument was, "I have come in this terrible place and I'm under the wrath of God. And I've got four brothers who are yet alive, and I don't want them to come here. And Abraham, if you would send Lazarus, if you would raise Lazarus up from the dead and send him to my brothers and tell them not to come to this awful place, then they would believe." And Abraham's response to him was, "They have Moses and the prophets. If they won't believe Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe Lazarus should he be raised from the dead." So you see, from our passage and from the scriptures, life and faith does not come from anything natural. It does not come from seeing anything with these eyes. It must come from our Lord. So where does spiritual life come from? Where does believing come from? Well, look at verse 5 in our text, chapter 3, verse 5. "And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He cannot enter into the reign of Christ. So this water. What is this water that we read about in this passage? This water is Christ. It's of Christ. It's His life. And I will tell you, I remember some years ago as I was reading this passage and come across this, you know, water and spirit, and trying to understand, well, what is this water? And I've learned, I don't need to make this complicated. I don't need to make this complicated. Turn with me over, if you will, to 1 John chapter 5. And we'll read a few verses in John 5, or 1 John. First John 5 and verse 8. "And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one." Water, that is our Lord's life. And His blood, that is our Lord's death. David said in Psalm 42:1, "As the hart, or as the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so doth my heart, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. So panteth my soul after thee, O Lord. So panteth my soul after thee, O Emmanuel." O God with us, O our Lord Jesus Christ, He is the water of life. And then secondly, in verse 5, back in John chapter 3, He says that we must be born of spirit. And this is speaking of God's Holy Spirit. The work of the Spirit. And there's some things that this the work of the Spirit is not. It's not emotions. And in this these crazy things you see in this life that we see around us, it's not feelings. How many times have you heard say, well, I feel the Spirit? Or the Spirit was there. I can tell you years ago, walking out of a service in religion and people talking about the Spirit being there. And I asked myself, was that the Spirit of God? Well, they were acting and going on. Was that the Spirit of God? Well, it wasn't. See, the Spirit always, God the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit always, always, always teaches the things of Christ. He does not bring attention to himself, but to Christ. John 16, verse 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. He'll speak of Christ. In John 15, 26, he says, but when the Comforter is come, when God the Holy Spirit is come, whom I will send unto you from my Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So, for a man to be born again, God the Holy Spirit, it takes the water, the things of Christ, and the Spirit. That is how a man is born again. Now, John 3, verse 6, looking at verse 6. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. This is pretty simple. What our Lord is saying, of flesh is flesh. Of spirit is spirit. That's what he's telling Nicodemus. Of flesh, our Lord wrote Genesis 6, 12, and God looketh upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. In Romans 7, Paul said, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Natural faith that comes from the flesh is of no value. False religion is of flesh. The faith that Nicodemus was speaking of here in this passage earlier, that was of flesh. Now, what about of spirit? Let's read verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and hears the sound thereof, but canst tell where it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of God. Now, what does this verse mean? So, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Well, the wind here is speaking of God's Spirit. And I hope you find that this to be the blessing to you as it was to me. But the wind bloweth where it listeth. Well, what does this word listeth mean? It means wills. The wind blows where it wills. It means determines. The wind, God the Holy Spirit, works or blows where he determines. It means purposes. God's Holy Spirit moves where he purposes. And it means loves. God's Holy Spirit moves where it loves. Now you think about that. Where it delights. Listeth also means delights. Takes pleasure. The Spirit moves where it takes pleasure. So where does the wind blow? That's a good question. The wind blows where you find sinners. That's where God is pleased. That's where God is delighted to move and to work. God delights to show mercy. He loves saving sinners. He takes great pleasure. He takes great pleasure in showing mercy. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. If you go to the day of Pentecost, there on that day, which is, I think it marked 40 days after the ascension of our Lord, but there at the day of Pentecost, I think is an example of our text. You'll find that the disciples who had sat under the Lord for all these, well, three and a half years, they had sat under his teaching, and he had told them many things. And how many times have we read in the scripture where they would look at each other and question, what did he mean by that? What did he say? What was really the meaning of that? And he would oftentimes turn around and give them correction or give them explanation. Now, oftentimes they didn't get it even then. But on the day of Pentecost, the Lord, God's Holy Spirit, blew. And these men who had sat under him for 3.5 years, under the Lord Jesus Christ himself, under his teaching, on the day of Pentecost, God the Holy Spirit took the things of Christ and revealed it to them. And all of a sudden, they understood. And they began preaching. God the Holy Spirit moved upon these men. And they began preaching to some of the very ones that crucified our Lord. And the wind blew. And the wind blew on some of those that crucified him. And God the Holy Spirit took the things of Christ and applied it to some of those who crucified him. And God delighted to do so. They believed, they understood, and they seen the Lord Jesus Christ. But as many as received him, to him he gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. May the Lord bless you.